With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defense on Kizwe, brought to you by the FNX Network and My Sportswear. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me this evening is football royalty. He made the name for himself at Sheffield Wednesday in the early 90s, playing a big part in the club's League Cup success. Now, my guest is also the first American to play in the Premier League. Ladies and gents, it's John Harkes. Great to have you on, mate. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Stel. How are you?
I'm brilliant, mate. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be on. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you very much. Now, John, being an 80s baby, I can't help but love that era of football, especially United. Now, I didn't know until today, but you're actually in the US national team's Italian 90 squad. Now, before we talk about the Coppa del Mundo, tell us about how you became invested in the sport and your career path to the Steel City.
Yeah, first generation American, Scottish family, mum and dad. My dad's from Dundee, my mom was from Paisley. Came across the States basically looking for work and connecting with different families and friends and things like that. Was raised in a small town in New Jersey, hard-working, blue-collar town, but basically it was all, you know, all our parents were Scottish, English, and Irish, and it just grew up with the game. So the game was always there. It was, whether it be on the telly or, you know, or I was playing youth football, it was just constant every single day, and so you just grow with the passion of the game, and it's just everywhere. That environment is fantastic. I was very fortunate to grow up in that, and that's where you create the love for the game and then your desire where you want to be at the next levels.
Absolutely. Now, prior to Italia 90, the US had only qualified for two World Cups, and they were even way before Spurs last won the league. So what did it mean to the squad, and was there much attention from the media?
Still, it was a very special time for soccer back in our country, because 40 years absence of not representing at the highest stage in the world, you know, the World Cup, and it took a while to get back there, but there was a lot of dedication from the U.S. Soccer Federation at that time. We had just qualified for the Olympics in 88 in Seoul, Korea, and they took that team and a lot of the younger players that were coming through the system as well were all kind of, you know, given an opportunity to kind of play and represent. And so, you know, at that stage, it was like, can we get to the 90 World Cup? Can we get back there? And it was a huge effort that was put forth, and it was good to be back there and representing. We found it, you know, a big challenge, obviously, but then, you know, once we got to 90, we were able to host in 94, and then, you know, since then, we've been representing at every World Cup, so it's been a good run for us, and hopefully that continues.
Absolutely. Now, at Sheffield Wednesday, you played alongside a friend of the show, being Carlton Palmer. Now, as I remember, the squad had a good mix of young and experienced players. Now, who would you say influenced you the most?
Well, I think, first of all, the English game influenced me quite a bit. Before we even get to individuals, I think just from an overall, you know, 11-year-old watching videos in the States and getting exposed to it. And it's not like it is today where, you know, you're switching every satellite channel that you can, and you've got, you even have, like, choices now. You're turning teams off. So back in the day, it was really hard to access as many games as you could, but in the Scots American Club, which was a social club, we were always getting like tapes of games and everything being sent over by family members and stuff. And I grew in love with Liverpool, to be fair. It was like my first, you know, the heydays of the 70s into the 80s of Liverpool and how great they were and some of the top players in the world. So I grew with that, and then that was a massive influence on me. And then from an individual standpoint, you know, the first introduction that you get and the open door opportunity is from your manager. Ron Atkinson at that time great experience in the game, and he gave me my first chance, you know, and opened the door for me. So for me, big influence in my career. And then from an individual standpoint on the pitch, you know, Colin Palmer, yeah, John Sheridan, Nigel Pearson, who was our captain at the time, Roland Nielsen, who I learned a lot from, Swedish international, you know, all those quality players, Danny Wilson. I mean, you go right through the side, Phil King. I mean, it was brilliant. But David Hurst, I mean, what a goal scorer at that time. I thought David Hurst was actually going to make a big move to Manchester United. I think it was a year, 91, 92, that there was all that talk of him going. And I thought, if we lose him, we're in trouble. But he stayed. But I really think in his career, if he had made that move, his career would have taken off and blossomed. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was lethal, absolutely lethal. Now, 1993 was a bit of a disappointing year, although you did score at Wembley in the League Cup final. Now, if I remember correctly, that was a season you played Arsenal in both Cup finals and lost. Now, how would you sum up that season?
I think from experiencing those moments, it's fantastic, you know, because you know as a player, there's a lot of players in the English game that play 12, 15 years as a pro and don't get a chance to get to Wembley. So for me, I was there in my 3 years at Sheffield Wednesday. I was at Wembley five times, and one of them was a semi-final against Sheffield United. But being against, you know, competing against Arsenal, some of the best players in the world that were on that team at that time, and, you know, Ian Wright being one of them, David Seaman in goal. You know, I score a goal. It's fantastic. It's a great feeling as an individual, but from a collective standpoint, from a team standpoint, it's disappointing because we had two opportunities to really at least win one of the cups, and we didn't. It was a challenge. It's a difficult thing, but at least you can say you were there. But from a competitive standpoint, yeah, you want to lift the trophy, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Well, Arthur Cox signed you for Derby, and your first season must have felt like it went on forever. 46 league games, a playoff run, a few League Cup games, a couple of Anglo-Italian matches. You must actually find it really funny when you hear managers say their players are tired.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, there was quite a few games throughout the season, not just with Sheffield Wednesday at the time, and the amount of cups that you're in the competitions, but even with Derby County, it was just like right into it. And it is. I mean, today, I think it's still, you know, maybe there's not a lot of transparency about that. You need big squads, obviously, to rotate in the players, but there needs to be more discussion about some of the competitions that are there. I mean, you're trying to keep players at a high level of playing and their fitness levels, and not just physically, but even mentally, you know, staying tuned in. And it's a massive challenge for that. So, I think, yeah, it was hard back in the day, and even on, you know, some of the pitches that we played on, and even 10, 20 years before, you know, my generation, it was even harder, I think. But the game is so fast now, the pace of the game, you know, the guys are looking after each other so much more from a scientific standpoint, the fitness, the food that they eat, they're able to recover a lot better, I think. So you see that, and it changes the game, but the landscape of football is changing every day. It really is. It's constantly changing, and I guess that's why we love the game, because it's fluid, you know. Absolutely. It's just always changing.
Absolutely. And you mentioned USA 94 earlier. Can you tell us a bit about your experience there? What did it mean to you?
I think it means it's a really special time because we're playing in your home country. It's very rare that you get to experience something like that. So being the host, and obviously we qualify through, but then there's a lot of pressure too, because then at the same time, they're like, you really deserve to be in the World Cup because you're hosting. So you've got to get out of that first round, which we did. And it was a challenge, you know, without a doubt. We played Switzerland the first game, we got a draw. Second game was against Colombia, that was picked from Pele and many other greats that said that they were going to be the underdog of the tournament. They were going to come through, and they were actually going to win it. They were talented enough. We ended up beating them 2-1, and then we lost to Romania 1-0, but we actually qualified to the next round and lost to Brazil on July 4th, our Independence Day, 1-0. You know, which was a challenge, but at the same time, I think it sort of ignited a nation. It really woke up our country, which we needed. And everybody, not just from an international standpoint, then all of a sudden people started a little bit more of a reality, the conversations about, will Major League Soccer actually take off at some point? And it became more of a reality. So for me, it was a big turning point and a huge, huge stepping stone for us, you know, to just kind of you know, to have that platform to perform in front of your friends and family and in your own country was absolutely incredible. Mm. And to be at that stage, at that World Cup highest level, it's amazing. Very fortunate.
I can imagine. And a year later, you were handed the joint MVP of the Copa America with Enzo Francescoli, who was an absolute beast at River Plate at the time. Was it a bit surreal being involved in a competition by invite?
Yeah, it was, actually. I mean, I'm thank God the U.S. Soccer Federation were very, very smart in their approach there and accepted the invitation. I knew that, too, you know, from a federation standpoint, we kind of wanted to challenge ourselves to see where we were at. And we had a lot to prove. You know, after the 94 World Cup, everything we all talk about on the grand stage, you know, can you do it more on a consistent basis as a national team? Is it going to be progress? Is it going to be development? So to be in a Copa America was pretty fantastic, actually. And then, you know, we knew that we were going to be facing against some of the top international sides in the world. You know, to beat Argentina the way we did was absolutely brilliant. Big challenge there. And as you say, you know, Enzo and some of the Batistuta, some of the top players that were in that tournament, absolutely incredible. We learned a lot about ourselves. I think, you know, each of the opposition taught us about who we were and how good we could be. And so we pulled off some big results down there. It was fantastic.
Brilliant. And Major League Soccer has hit a completely new level these days and is a competition that has just as many thrills and spills as the best leagues in the world. Did you ever think it would be this successful?
No, no, not in a million years. Absolutely not. And if, I mean, you always kind of hope. I think I'm always an optimist and I'm thinking, wow, it'd be great. You know, even when I left West Ham to come back to the States and help, you know, develop the league as a player, in 1996 with DC United, we were always kind of hopeful that this is something that can not only just take off and ignite, but also have some longevity and last a great deal of time. You know, you're looking for that. And now you look at the strength of the league, it's absolutely phenomenal. We had Don Garber, the commissioner of the league, and their executives come into our city, Cincinnati, with FC Cincinnati. What we've been able to do here as a third-tier division league with 17,200 people averaging at home, which is ridiculous. And so we kind of woke up a city here as well. The game's growing at such the lower levels in that pyramid structure, you're going to have more of a strength in the structure itself as you develop and get to the top. So for me, it's been fantastic. And I think I could never imagine, Stella, if I looked forward and said, hey, 20-plus years on, you know, where are we going to be? Well, we're 20 teams strong right now in Major League Soccer. The USL is actually growing tremendously. There's 29 teams there, and they're exposing themselves, you know, at this point to another growth, which we're having. You know, another 2-3 teams are going to grow, maybe even 4 teams for next season in 2017. And the game's only getting stronger, which is fantastic. So the exposure, you know, in the business mainstream, putting it on television, making sure that it's being seen, is really, really important. So it's gone very well. And that's I could never imagine it would be this strong.
Fantastic. Now, you followed in the footsteps of Big Ron and Trevor Francis and taking the managerial plunge at FC Cincinnati. Now, a few weeks ago, I spoke to Fort Lauderdale Strikers GM Luis Cucacci, and he said the NASL is thriving at the moment, but it seems the USL is doing just as well, if not better, given the number of MLSB teams there. How are you finding it, and can you see yourself coaching in Europe one day?
Could I see myself coaching in Europe? Did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, actually. I think I try to have the alchemist approach to everything I do in life. You know, even with family, you're always looking, you're open to learning. And, you know, I've been traveling every year overseas, whether it be in England, Spain, I've been to Holland, worked with some really top managers just to learn from them. So I have a lot to learn, obviously, but at the same time, yeah, I mean, why not? I'm ambitious, and you got to do your work, and you got to be diligent in your approach. And I'm always looking to learn from other coaches and other managers, you know, along the way. But someday, would I love to coach overseas? Yeah, I would love to. I would love to have that experience. It would be brilliant.
Brilliant. And how are you finding your time at FC Cincinnati at the moment?
It's fantastic right now. FC Cincinnati is going very well. The biggest challenge we have is to sustain the energy and the interest that we had from last season and continue that moving forward into this year. So 2017 is going to be even more of a challenge. we, from an entertaining standpoint, played extremely well. We finished third overall out of 29 teams, which was brilliant for a first-time club. And now we've got a little bit of a target on our back this year, and we've got to, you know, we've got to pick it up and get better. It's got to get stronger, you know. So we'll see. You know, there's a lot of competition out there. And if you're coming across, Stel, we'll look after you. We'll take care of you in Cincinnati, all right?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Brilliant. I'll take you up on that, actually. 100%. 100%. On a final note, John, do you actually look out for any of your old team's results?
Oh, always. Always, man. I'm following them all the time. Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt, Sheffield Wednesday, Derby County, West Ham with Slaven. I was over to see Slaven last year. I've been in touch with Darren Wassell quite a bit, who's running the academy at Derby County, doing a great job. Always in touch with some of the former players and people that are still at Sheffield Wednesday. So always keeping, you know, in contact with that. You never forget the people that you share great moments with in the game. So, you know, for me, it's always staying connected like that and always following. So we see quite a few of the games out here. We always keep in touch. It's been fantastic.
Well, speaking of fantastic, you've been a fantastic guest, John. Really appreciate your time, mate. Would you like to tell our listeners your Twitter handle? Because I know you're a bit active on Twitter at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm kind of. I've got a lot to learn in there, too. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I haven't had any tutoring services yet with Twitter, so I'm doing okay. It's just at JohnArx6.
Fantastic.
On Twitter, so... Yeah, it's been an interesting one. When you worked for ESPN and SiriusXM, I did my own satellite radio show. They were like, you have to have a Twitter account. I was like, really? Okay. Tell me what that is. Now my kids make fun of me, but it's all right. We're doing okay.
Brilliant. Well, John, look, thank you very much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. And look, the door's always open if you fancy coming back on the show. You've been a fantastic guest and you're a true gent. Thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate it, Stel. Yeah, I would love to. I'll make sure I connect with you and hook up when I get over there, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you, John. Thank you very much for your time. You enjoy your evening and your weekend, mate. And Christmas, obviously.
You as well. Yeah, same to you. Merry Christmas. Yeah, happy holidays. Thank you,
Stel. All the best, sir. Take care.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.